Today on Knowing Christ, Pastor Rich Burkle will again share a message from God's Word with the desire that we grow our relationship with Christ. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you'll join us each week for Rich's verse-by-verse teaching of Scripture.
The Lord in Belshazzar's day spoke through a hand on the wall, his miracle, the sign. He spoke through Daniel the prophet. In our own day, the Lord speaks to us through his own son, Jesus. We have something more than Daniel, more than a handwriting on the wall. You know, some of us think, well, if I saw handwriting on the wall, I'd pay attention too. You know, we have something more greater than a handwriting on the wall.
Here's Rich with an introduction for this week's message.
Welcome to Knowing Christ. Today we're excited to open up our Bibles to Daniel chapter 5. And here we find a very cautionary tale of Belshazzar, who thinks everything's going great and living as though his life will never come to an end. And suddenly, in a single day, there's this great reversal, and God meets him in his righteous judgment. One of the lessons that this message and story teaches us is that God uses a different measure than we do to consider whether our life is valuable, whether our life is in the right course, whether our life is really productive and fruitful. And so as we open up to the story, we want to consider what measure does God use as he weighs my life in the balance? And as he weighs my life in the balance, will I be found light? Will I be found wanting? And of course, it's only through Christ that any of us is not found light or wanting on the day of judgment. But through Christ, we can be complete. And so this story directs our hearts toward the Lord Jesus as Savior. And let's open up our Bibles together today.
The main idea we're going to trace through our time of just talking about this story is that only God's measure upon our life means anything. Let us not allow any other measure to come alongside of us to see whether our lives, determine whether our lives mean something. It's only God's measure that means anything. And so let's not trust in ourselves as we think about trying to make some life for ourselves, but let's trust in Christ alone. He's the one who gives life. And he's the one who actually makes us acceptable in God's sight, which connects us to eternity. So this morning we're going to consider the mutiny that our heart makes. We're going to learn about mutiny that's running through us through this story. We're going to learn about the message God sends to us. What does God have to say to our hearts today? We're going to learn about the measure God uses to evaluate our lives. And finally, we're going to learn about the mastery of God's decrees, how God works in this world. Let's first consider the mutiny of our own hearts. You know, Belshazzar squandered his spiritual advantage. God placed a grandpa with a story of amazing conversion, a testimony of having worshiped false idols and having come to worship and understand and know the one true and living God. Belshazzar's grandpa experienced the power of the Lord in a way that brought him low, that humbled him in his pride. His grandpa experienced the judgment of the Lord in a way that brought him to the end of himself, that he realized he couldn't build his own life. His grandpa experienced then also the mercy of the Lord, loving kindness of the Lord, in a way that lifted him out of the disaster of insanity. And I want to ask you this morning, some of you who are here may not have had any grace of conversion in your family. That's been your experience. But some of you can relate to Belshazzar. Yeah, I had a grandpa and he told me a story. I had a mom, I had a dad, I had a brother, I had a sister, and it wasn't only that I read the scriptures to know that it was true. The word alone, its testimony is true. We don't need anything more than that. But often the Lord reinforces the truth of the gospel message, the truth that Jesus was born of a virgin, he died upon a cross, and he was resurrected, through the effects of that message upon someone near us. And if that is the case, I want to urge you, do not quickly pass by that message, that grace of the Lord in your life. Belshazzar did. He didn't think about his grandpa. He didn't think about his grandpa's testimony. Daniel is going to say, you knew all these things and you despised them. And yet when we think about Belshazzar, we also must not have the attitude, how could this guy be so hard-hearted and foolish? What a buffoon. No, if we think that as we look at Belshazzar, we miss the instruction that the story would bring to us. The instruction that God wants us to receive when we look at Belshazzar's foolishness and his pride and his arrogance and his self-will is to see Belshazzar in our own hearts. And to recognize, apart from God's grace, I could have all the spiritual privileges. Not just a grandpa, but a mom and a dad, and brothers and sisters, and cousins. And I could have all these privileges, and left to myself, my heart is going to be blind to the truth of the gospel. At the root of our souls, we are rebels against the Lord. We're rebels exactly like Belshazzar. And if God has opened our eyes, it's because of his amazing grace. At our core, we are blind to God's greatness, to his sovereignty, to his majesty, to his holiness. And it's only by knowing this truth about the mutiny that's not in the heart of other people, but it is actually in our hearts. This is our nature. It's mutiny against the one majestic, magnificent Lord of creation. And it's only in knowing that this is the nature of our hearts that we humble ourselves before him to receive his grace. Listen to the instruction that God gives to us about the mutiny in our own hearts. Job asked the question, what is man that he can be pure? And the answer, he's nobody, he can't be pure. Or who is he born of a woman that he can be righteous? And the answer is no, we're born of a woman, we're sinners. Listen to Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has mutiny in our hearts. We've turned away from the Lord. That's true of every person. Let's not look at Belshazzar and pride and say, how could he do this? Instead, we look at ourselves, this is who I would be apart from the grace of God. In Psalm 130, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could possibly stand? We're all undone by our unbelief. What happens when we fail to believe God's truth about the sinfulness of our own soul? What happens when we fail to take into account the mutiny that's right here, and a mutiny that still wants to break out even after we're redeemed? There's this part of our flesh that still wants to resist the authority of God in our lives. And what happens if we forget that? Well, a number of things. Let me just give you a few that I've considered. We begin to condemn others harshly without having a heart of mercy toward them, because we see ourselves as so far above them, as opposed to seeing ourselves in need of mercy as well. We become blind to the rebellion that's building in our hearts. We don't even see rebellion because we're not expecting it. We begin to live without awareness of our own specific sins and specific confession before God is almost absent from our lives. You know, Jesus tells us to pray, saying, forgive us our sins, to bring specific things before the Lord. And if we don't recognize the mutiny in our hearts, we say, I really don't have anything to confess. I think I'm doing fine. If we forget the mutiny in our own hearts, our conversation about other sins becomes familiar, even though the confession of our own sin becomes infrequent. In other words, we're much more interested in talking about other people's sins than talking to the Lord and bringing to the Lord our own. If we forget the mutiny in our own hearts, we miss the filling of God's Spirit. And apart from God's Spirit, we cannot have the fruit of God's Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. So what's the application of this lesson of mutiny in our own hearts? Well, let's say I am Belshazzar. I am Belshazzar. Apart from the Lord's grace in my life, that's who I am. I have to acknowledge that. I'm prone to wander from the Lord. I'm prone to disobey the commandments of the Lord. I'm prone to build my own kingdom. I'm prone to defy the majesty of God in my life. And to call out upon him in mercy, O Lord, rescue me, rescue me. Friends, there is mutiny against the Lord in each of our hearts. Let us seek the Lord to prevent the mutiny from breaking out and destroying us. And then the message that God sends. You know, it's amazing that God speaks to mutinous people in love and concern for them and for us. You know, God could have had the same consequences happen to Belshazzar without the hand writing on the wall. He could have just had him all of a sudden, the Medes and Persians appear as he did that night. Why did God send a message? He sent a message for Belshazzar because I believe that if Belshazzar at that moment had fallen on his knees and cried out for mercy, he would have experienced what the people of Nineveh did when Jonah went through the city and just, he didn't say repent, he just said 4 days and judgment's gonna come. And they repented though, and God gave mercy. This is the nature of God. This is not what Belshazzar did. But the message is given out of love and out of concern. Our God is not silent, even though he could be, and he would be righteous to be silent. The Lord, in Belshazzar's day, spoke through a hand on the wall, his miracle, the sign. He spoke through Daniel the prophet. In our own day, the Lord speaks to us through his own son, Jesus. We have something more than Daniel, more than a handwriting on the wall. You know, some of us think, well, if I saw handwriting on the wall, I'd pay attention too. You know, we have something more greater than a handwriting on the wall. Here's what Hebrews says. Long ago, in many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He sent someone who is eternal, someone who is the truth embodied, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. That's who we have as the messenger sent by God to us. How are we to listen to Jesus? Well, Hebrews continues in Hebrews 4, the word of God is living and active. In other words, God speaks in a living, personal way through his word so that we hear Jesus' voice through his word. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces us right into the very depths of our being, the division of soul and spirit, discerns thoughts and intentions of our heart, what's inside of us. What a gift we have from the Lord to have a clear, full, complete, powerful word of the Lord, much more powerful than a finger writing on a wall. Now again, listen to the message that God gives to Daniel. He talks about Nebuchadnezzar and how Nebuchadnezzar was humbled before the Lord. And after being humbled, that the mercy of the Lord came to him in his repentance and he lifted him back up. And then in verse 22 of Daniel 5, he says this, "But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart." And he goes on to say, though you knew all this, you had such revelation, you had a word from the Lord, and you didn't respond to the message that God was lovingly giving to you. Instead, you've lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. Why would Belshazzar care to be religious at all? He made this feast a religious feast. Verse 4 tells us that when they drank wine, they were praising the gods of gold, silver, and bronze, and iron, wood, and stone. Why be religious at all? Why not just make this some atheistic affair? And the answer is because the worship of false gods always aligns with the desires of our flesh. If you choose a false god, I can guarantee you that God will give you what your flesh wants. And that's why they're so alluring. To worship a god that confirms exactly what I want to do, who I want to be, here's the big problem. The worship of the one true and living God always aligns his message with the denial of our flesh. That part within us that is self-willed, that part within us that are proud and self-ruling, the message of the Lord always aligns against our flesh. And this is why our flesh hardens when the word of the Lord, the message of the Lord comes to us. Proverbs 3 and 4, these two chapters, they quote, God has the writer quote Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8, not once, not twice, but three times. In two chapters, he quotes the exact same verse. And what is that verse that God's using to get our attention? Here it is from Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, because God is the God who speaks. So today, if you're hearing his voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion, like the children of Israel did when they were wandering through the wilderness. If you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. And that's what Belshazzar did. He says, Daniel says, you knew all this. There was a time when God brought his message to you through your grandpa, and yet you hardened your heart, you turned away from it. Don't you know that the word of God, it's a living and active thing. It's not to be despised, and if it's despised, it'll be taken from you. It'll be taken from you all the way until the day of judgment when it's too late. When God speaks, he often speaks conviction upon our behaviors and upon our attitudes. And when God speaks conviction to our flesh, our natural response is to deflect his voice and become hardened to it. So I want to ask you the question, it's personal, it's for me as well. If the Lord speaks a word of conviction to your soul this morning, to your soul today, is your heart soft to the Lord to receive it? Do you trust the Lord that it's a good word even though it's a hard word? Remember that the Lord's conviction is always about turning away from some sin that we really love. And is our heart soft or is it hard when we hear that? When we hear that voice, say, no, I don't want to think about that. I'll just push it back. Are we ready to respond to the Lord? Because the Lord has a message for us. It's a message that calls us to repent of sin. It's a message that calls us to see him for who he is in all of his glory. I believe that God has spoken to each of you who are here this morning in some way, at some time, at some point in your life. And I believe that he holds every one of us accountable for what we do when he speaks. I don't know if he's still speaking to you, because if you've hardened your heart in the past, it's possible that you don't hear the voice of God. Belshazzar wasn't hearing the voice of God until a hand appeared. It seemed like for years of his life, he wasn't bothered by the conviction of God. He wasn't hearing the voice of the Lord because the Lord, in judgment, had withdrawn his word from him. But I ask you, if today you would hear his voice, would you soften your heart? And would you listen? And would you humble yourself? And would you seek his face? When God speaks to us, let us never harden our hearts. When God speaks to us, let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, because God's message is a message of hope. It's a message of life. Now, the measure God uses. Each of these three words, many, many, tekel, parson, are measures of weight. The meaning is explained by Daniel. He says, many. God has decreed that the number, that means number, the number of your years that's been allotted to you that God designed for Babylon to be on the face of the earth is expired. Time's up. Tekel, God's weighed you, Belshazzar. You, individually, personally, God's weighed you and found you to be light and deficient. And then Peres, the one kingdom of Babylon is so great and mighty, you thought it would stand on the earth forever. It's going to be divided. Part of it's going to be to Mede Empire, part of it's going to be the Persian Empire. Now, I want you to think about that middle word, tekel, for a moment. The people in Daniel's day did what you and I do still to this day. You go to a store, and they would buy a half gallon of olive oil. They would buy a bushel of wheat. They would buy a pound of bread. And in our day, we go and we say, I'd like a pound of coffee. And we look, and there's a bag, and it says 16 ounces on it. It's okay, it's a pound of coffee. We take it, and we trust. There might be 14 ounces in that bag. I don't ever know, because I never weigh it. In their day, they didn't trust. They had scales. And they said, okay, you're telling me this is a half gallon of olive oil. I'm going to weigh it. I'm going to check it out because I know exactly how much it weighs. Tell me it's a bushel of wheat. I'm going to weigh it. So at a scale. And let's say that the transaction was already made. Here's a half gallon of olive oil. It's for this price. You give them the money. You take it back. You say, I'm putting it in a scale. Hey, wait a minute. This isn't a half gallon. It's short by like 4 ounces. What's going on? I want my 4 ounces. So that's what this word tekel means. It means the transaction is to be made. You told me it was a pound, and it's only 15 ounces. And he says, this is what God does, Belshazzar, to you. He puts you in his scale. He says, this is what you need to weigh in order to be accepted. And instead of being a man who's 16 ounces to the pound, you're deficient. He may have been 4 ounces instead of 16. He may have been 8 ounces. Whatever it is, he's deficient. He's been weighed by God, and he's found deficient. That's the picture. Now, in God's word, God is clear that every one of us here and every one of us ever born in this world are going to be placed on God's scales. And we're going to be weighed. And our eternal destiny is going to be determined by what is discovered on the day that we're weighed in God's scale. God says this, he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. That's Jesus. He's fixed a day, the weighing day. God says this, on that day when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men's hearts by Jesus Christ, that every part of us is going to be measured, even the part that no one else can see. Hebrews 4, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account, by whom we must be weighed. So I want you to think about that day. How will you be found when you are weighed in God's balance? You know, many think about that and say, yeah, I think I'm going to be okay. I look around and, you know, if anybody is 16 ounces to the pound kind of person, I am, you know, because I think on the basis of comparing myself with other people in society, you know, I think I'm going to be okay. Perhaps you know that there's some ways that you've sinned against the Lord, but you think, okay, maybe, but I've also done some really good things, and they're going to be added, and at the end, I'm going to be found to not be lacking. The story tells us that all of us are like Belshazzar. When God places us on his scales, this word, tekel, is going to be declared by God over your life and mine. It means you've been weighed, and you've been found lacking. And if we're found lacking, here Belshazzar that day, because he was found lacking, that night his life was taken from him. Disaster, damnation, forever. Where's the hope in that? How could I be weighed in God's scales? Because here's what he says, 16 ounces of the pound means there is no unrighteousness in me. And God has declared in his word, there is no one who is righteous, no, not even one. No one does good. All have sinned. We've all fallen short. We've all been found lacking. And so who passes God's measure of righteousness when he puts us on the scale? And here is the answer that God's gospel gives to us. It's only the person who has Jesus provide a righteousness, provide a weight, provide a quality that we could never produce. If I'm going to be 16 ounces to the pound and thus align with God's measurement, I don't have 16 ounces to put on the scale. I just simply don't. In fact, I have no ounces. That none of my goodness is even on the scale, weighs anything. And if I'm going to be 16 ounces a pound, it's because I've cried out, Jesus, you've been the perfect, righteous Savior, and you promised to remove from me all my sins. You promised to give me your righteousness, and by faith I receive from you this blessed gift of righteousness. And when Jesus places that in my arms, I get on the scale, and God says, accepted, not rejected, not deficient, but complete, full, sufficient. Beloved, every one of us will be on the scales of God's justice. And I want to ask you, what word will be spoken? And only those who have Jesus Christ will be declared sufficient. Everyone else will be said weighed and found wanting. I urge you to trust in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Last but not least, the mastery God decrees. That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean, this king, is killed. What a sobering word. And here's the message that this story tells us. Man is not ultimate, no matter how mighty, no matter how great and powerful man might appear to be. Man is not ultimate. In a moment, this man's kingdom was taken from him. Everything was his. And then everything was lost. The Lord alone rules from heaven. He is the only master of our present, of our past, and of our future. Our next very breath is from the Lord. And one day the Lord will take us from this world by his sovereign decree, that is his mastery over our lives. He alone is the master of our fate. The world in its eloquence lies to you. You are not the master of your fate, nor am I. You are not the captain of your soul. You will not be unafraid when you are before him whose eyes blaze like fire. Your knee will not be unbowed when you stand before his majesty. Your soul will not be unconquerable. Belshazzar thought all these to be true until God met him with his mastery. Let me ask you, has God ever gotten your attention? He often uses unusual circumstances to get the attention of the most hardened of souls. And today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, but rather open your hearts and soften them to the Lord, because he has a word of grace, a word of life for you and for me.
Rich will have some closing thoughts about today's message in a moment. Would you tell others about Knowing Christ Radio? We love to have new listeners join us as we try to know Christ more and more each week. Here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that this cautionary tale that God gives us about Belshazzar awakens us to our need for God's grace and mercy. That we wouldn't delay in running to him for grace and mercy, but that now we would seek his goodness. We would seek his reward. We would place him at the center of our lives, that we'd place him upon the throne of our lives, and we'd look to him for direction. We'd look to him as our sovereign authority in life. We want to encourage you at Knowing Christ. We pray that you grow to know Christ Jesus more and more as a result of participating with us in this radio ministry. And we pray that Jesus becomes more a center in your life and a delight to your heart. We're going to offer you a free resource from Charles Spurgeon entitled All of Grace. What a great little book this is. And if you think this little book would encourage you to lean into the grace of Christ, just simply connect with us and ask for All of Grace by Charles Spurgeon. May God bless you.
Here at Knowing Christ, we're so thankful for our listeners. The comments we receive are such an encouragement to us as we hear how God is at work through this ministry. Would you spread the word? Invite a friend to tune in on this station to hear Knowing Christ each week. And check out our website, where you can send us a note or listen to these messages again. Thanks for listening. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.